Yud Beis, Amud Beis, the two dots, second line, and we have already quoted in the tradition of Rav Bar Bachinina in the name of Rav, so that transmission of Torah, now we're going to go further, and we're going to try to understand the Chasima, the Brach of Atah Kadosh, the Brach of Hashiva Shavteinu, and especially during Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Kol HaShana Kula Adam Ispalel HaKel HaKadosh. And with regard to Hashiva Shavteinu, Melech Oev Tztaku Mishpat Chutz Me'asori Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. During the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we're going to change the bracha and Mispal HaMelech HaKadosh and also HaMelech HaMishpat. And this is something that is familiar to us. There was a Shaila that was asked 5 centuries ago in Egypt to the Radbaz, Rabbeinu David Ibn Izra, what is the meaning of Asori Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim? The truth is that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we only have 7 days, and the Radbaz answered that that's not a really a valid question, because the Kedushas Rosh Hashanah, which is Chal at the beginning of the 10 days, and the Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper at the end of the day, at the time of Ne'ilah. So basically we begin with the Kedusha at the onset of Rosh Hashanah, and we conclude with the end of Yom HaKippurim at Ne'ilah, and that's exactly 10 days. Now if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel HaMelech HaKadosh, you could ask the following question: why is it that the Nusach HaBracha changes from HaKel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva? And the answer is that the Kedusha of these days is the Kedusha of Malchios. We begin with the Malchios of Rosh Hashanah, and that Malchios of which Hashem is the Melech HaKol HaOlam, HaKol HaOretz, that continues until Yom HaKippurim. And the Bracha is not, the Bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh is not addressing or touching on the theme of Mishpat. So the comment here that I wanted to bring to your attention is that of the Prisha in Siman Kuf Yud Ches, that with regard to other brachos, God is described by His actions. Like for example, Baruch Atah Hashem Chonein Adas, or Harotza B'Tshuva. But with regard to this bracha, which ends with the Romamus and the Kiddush of Atzmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not describing His Pe'ulas, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmo. And during these days, the days of Malchus, then when we talk about His Mishpat, we're talking about God as HaMelech HaMishpat. We're no longer talking about His actions, we're talking about the descriptions of God Himself. Malchus now describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And other poskim say that HaKel is Chesed, Rosh Hashanah is Din, Malchus is Din, and therefore it makes sense to say HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaKel HaKadosh. So that the substitution of HaMelech HaKadosh for HaKel HaKadosh is understood in 2 ways. Number one, we're going to see this in HaMelech HaMishpat, we're describing Hashem Be'atzmuso because of the Malchus of these days. And number two, we're going to substitute Chesed for Malchus or Chesed for Din. Now if you take a look at the first 3 brachos, they form a unit which is called Birchas HaShevach. And from there and on, the brachos are Bakoshos. They are Mesaken that we should complete everything here with a Shevach HaNikar Ata, which means we should praise Hashem with something that is right now recognizable. So we're going to end the first 3 brachos with HaMelech HaKadosh, because now his Shevach that's Nikar is his Malchus. And Yechezkel HaNovi says that after God takes revenge against Gog Umagog, then Vizgadalti Vizkadashti, so the name of HaKadosh Baruch will be sanctified through the din, the judgment that he meets out, the punishment against Gog Umagog who will rebel against God. Now HaMelech HaMishpat, which means that God is the Melech of Mishpat, the first hay of HaMelech HaMishpat is completely superfluous. However, we do find in various psukim cases, like for example, Nose Ha'aron Habris, that the hay is added not only to Habris, but also to the word Ha'aron, which is the introduction to Habris, and we say Ha'aron Habris. So even though we mean Aron Habris, we say Ha'aron Habris. And here too, even though we really mean Melech HaMishpat, we say HaMelech HaMishpat. Rabbeinu Chananel says that what is the meaning of HaMelech HaMishpat? He says Chaseira Teva Bein HaMelech LeHaMishpat. We really have words that are missing between HaMelech and HaMishpat. And they are Yoshev Al. It should be HaMelech HaYoshev Al HaMishpat. And he gives an example from Yoshua, and Sefer Yoshua, it says V'chol Om HaMilchama, which means Kol HaOm HaYored El HaMilchama. And the Beis Yosef has a whole discussion, why don't we say Melech Ohev Tztaka U'Mishpat, but rather HaMelech HaMishpat? And the answer he offers is Ki HaMelech Ohev Tztaka U'Mishpat Mashma, he's Ohev, that he treats the bruim with tzedek u'mishpat, but HaMelech HaMishpat means that he is the shofet of the entire world. Rabbi Eliezer Omar, Afilu Omar, Akel HaKodesh Yotza. According to Rabba, in the name of Rav, this is critical. If he didn't say HaMelech HaKodesh, he's not Yotze. He only recited Akel HaKodesh, but Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. And even during Aser Yisrael Tshuva, he could be Yotzi with Akel HaKadosh, and Nemer, because the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Vayikba Hashem Tzvakos V'Mishpat, V'Akel HaKadosh Nikdash B'Tztakah. Let's interpret this Pasuk. Amosai, when is it Vayikba Hashem Tzvakos V'Mishpat? When is it indicative of the time in which God rules the world as a king with Din and Mishpat? That's during the Elul Aser Yomim Shiro Shavuot Yom Kippurim, and yet at the end of the pasuk it says Vakel Hakadosh Nikdash B'Tztakah. So if we take the beginning of the pasuk, which is an allusion to the Aser Yomim from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim, and we take the end of the pasuk, which calls God Hakel Hakadosh, we learn from that that Hakel Hakadosh, even during Aser Yomei Yatshuva, is an appropriate description of God. Now here we have a machlokes amongst the Rishonim about this machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Lozer. According to Balamor, the words of Rav are only as far as Lechatchil is concerned, and he's medayikin from the Lashon, it says in Rav, Mispalel HaMelech HaKodesh, means that's the appropriate way in an ideal fashion, but in Lo Amar HaMelech HaKodesh, Lo Yotze, that you won't find in Rav. And many other Rishonim agree with the Balamor, but we interpret the sugya here based on the Rajba, who understood that when Rabbi Eliezer says Yotza, it means he's cholek on the previous opinion of Rav as far as B'dievet is concerned, and Rabbi Eliezer says that according to Rav, even B'dievet is not Yotzi, and now he disagrees with Rav, and he says, no, B'dievet, you were Yotzi if you mentioned Akel HaKadosh, which he proves from the Pasuk. The Gemara now deals with the question of how we decide the Hakras Halacha in this Machlok between Rav and Rabbi Eliezer. My Havala, what's the final halacha? Rab Yosef Hakel HaKadosh Melech Oev Tztaku Mishpat. Which means that we paskin like Rabbi Lozer, that even if he said Hakel HaKadosh, he was Yotze, and in Hashiva Shavtenu, even if he recited Melech Oev Tztaku Mishpat, he was Yotze. And the Tzlach wonders why Rav Yosef had to be Marech B'Lashono. He just could have said Yotza. And that would have been enough to understand that he's passing like Rabbi Lozer. And the answer is no. If Rabbi Yosef had just said the word Yotza, somebody might have mistakenly thought that he means that he was Yotze Akel HaKadosh, but not that he was Yotze HaMelech HaMishpat. Meaning that if he was Chosem in the Baruch of Hashivenu Melech Oev Tztaku Mishpat, he wouldn't be Yotze. So he had to spell out everything. And now Rabba Omar, HaMelech HaKodesh V'HaMelech HaMishpat, he passes like Rav, that you must, and it's critical that you recite HaMelech HaKadosh V'Hilchos HaKarav, and the Gemara Paskin signs off like Rabba, that HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat is absolutely critical. And if he mistakenly left him out, then he has to repeat Shmon Esrei. So that the Rishonim point out that halacha is like Rava, bein l'inyan l'chatchila, bein l'idiyevet. But yet, Rabbi Yonis says that if he says Melech Oev Tztokum Mishpat instead of HaMelech HaMishpat, he was Yotze because he did mention Malchus. But in Akel HaKadosh, he didn't mention Malchus at all, and he's not Yotze, and that's how the Ramah paskins in Kuf Yud Aleph. The Omar Rava Barachin and Asav Mishmei the Rav, another statement with the same transmission. Kol Shef Shal Olavakish Rach Malchav Veiro Veinim Vavakish Nikra Chote. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Shmuel, Gama Nochi Cholilali Mechatol Hashem Mechadol Ispal Badchem. If a person has the ability to put forth a supplication on behalf of his friend and he doesn't do so, he's called a chote. Because the pasuk says, Cholilali Mechatol, heaven forbid I shouldn't sin. By being chodel, by abstaining from being mispal bad, I mean, Shmuel was mevakish rachman for the people, as is indicated in the psukim there. Tefillah of Shmuel was recited after Shmuel gave tochacha to the people who requested a king, and they weren't satisfied with the shofet. And Shmuel was mispal al Hashem that he should bring down the rains on that day. It was a time for harvest. So this would be a klola. And this would be a message from on high that they made a mistake and it was inappropriate for them to ask for a king. And God accepted the tefillah of Shmuel, and Hashem Nasan Kolos Umata Bayom Ahu, and now the people of Israel come to be Mvaki Shmuel, please be mispal to stop the rains. And Shmuel responds that you didn't behave in the proper way when you asked for a king. However, Im Shuv Lo Yasur Me'achor Hashem V'Yashuv Eilecha Lo Yimna Atzmo Yispal Eilecha. In other words, if they will no longer deviate from the path of God, if they would return to God, then he would not prevent himself from davening on their behalf. Now the reason why a person who doesn't daven on behalf of someone else is called a chote is because he was mevatel the mitzvah say v'yahavtel recha kamocha and the mitzvah of gemilus chasodim shebegufo. Also we have a mission in Sanhedrin called Makayim Nefesh Achas Mishra Kilukiyim Olam Mole. So he has the opportunity to create a world and save a world, and he didn't take advantage of that opportunity, Kol Shef Shalavakish. Language of Kol Shef Shalavakish is strange, paradoxical. It implies that somebody who's Eino Yochel is Pal Chaver, I don't know who that is. What's also paradoxical is that the poskim don't bring down this halacha at all. If he's a chote, it should have been brought down in halacha. So the Ein Yaakov offers the answer that although it's true that not everyone has the ability to mispalel, because who says that his tefillos will be received on high, but rather this statement of the Gemara of Rabba in the name of Rav is only addressing the tzaddikim gedolim, the greats of the generation, because that tefillah will be accepted, just like in the case of Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to reject the proof from this pasuk, as we'll see further in the Gemara about an Oseh Dvar Avera Misbayish Bo. The Gemara says Dilma Tzibur Shaini. The Gemara could have also applied Dilma Tzibur Shaini here, and there's no way you can derive a law and a sin vis-a-vis an individual from the fact that Shmuel was davening on behalf of the Tzibur. That's the question of the Ein Yaakov. And here it's possible that in the context of Shmuel, they lost their status as a tzibur because they asked for a king, and therefore we're talking about tefillah on behalf of a yachid, not tefillah on behalf of a tzibur. I prefer a different answer, that maybe with regard to tefillah, the opposite is true. The Gemara later on is going to talk about a dvar avera misbayish mimeno. Here, we're talking about tefillah. And dafka, in the case of a yachid, perhaps even more than a tzibur, our heart should go out for the yachid. And if we don't feel for the yachid, then certainly, kal vachomer from the case of Shmuel, we've been considered chotim. According to some achronim, Yesh Yosef tzorch lispal avur ayochid miyashav avur atzibur, and ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moes tefilas rabim, and if we find that a yochid has to be mispal for a tzibur, then for sure he has to be mispal for a yochid with a kal v'chomer, and that's what I think would reflect the approach that we took. Amar Rav in Talmud Chacham, who if the person who needs Rachmei Shamayim is a Talmud Chacham, tzorch sheyachle atzmo olav, it's not enough that he's mispalel, but he has to actually get sick over it. He has to so much empathize with the Talmud Chacham that he feels sick himself. My timer, what's the reason for Rava? How did he derive this elam? If you're going to say Mishum Dechsiv, a pasuk in Shmuel, when Shmuel gives tochacha to his avodim, that they had a yad in Redifas David also. So he said to them, V'ein chole mikem alai, v'gole es ozni, ki hekim b'ni es avdi, alai li ori b'yom hazeh. There's not one of you who got sick and felt the pain or the suffering that I felt. And in that sense, you might have assumed, the Gemara is going to reject this into a broader context. We're talking about Shaul, who had a phobia, and he thought that David was running after him, and he gave tochacha to his own avodim, that in a sense they supported David running after him. And he says, Ein cholami kamalai, no one is getting sick over the fact that I am sick, and I'm suffering because, even though I'm a Talmud Chacham, that I should be saved from David. And none of you revealed that you are interested in empathizing with my suffering. You didn't reveal to me that Yonasan, my own son, entered into a bris with David HaMelech. All this you concealed from me. So you see that we expect a person to feel a suffering and an illness by identifying with that of the pain of the Talmud Chacham. So Gemara rejects that Dilma Melech Shaini, that the reason why Shaul had a right as a king to give such harsh rebuke is because we certainly have to feel the pain of the king. But how do you know, how do you prove that a person who's not a king, just because it's Talmud Chacham, we have to feel his pain and we have to be machle, we have to feel choli biatzmi. The Gemara says, al mihach, we have to quote a different pasuk with regard to Doeg and Achitofel. They were running after David in Tehillim. It says in the pasuk that when David complained, he said, Vani bachalosam levushi, sok inesem batsom nafshi. That when they were cholim, David says, I wore sack. I wore sackcloth. And I, hisanasi, I suffered in a tinus affliction in order that Hashem should bring about ripui. And what are you doing for me? Instead, Doeg and Achitofel are running after me, and I'm a fugitive. So you see that David HaMelech was hechla atzma lehem, because they were talmidei chachamim. Let's just try to understand what's going on here in David's complaint. David is complaining, he's letting out a krecht about the fact that Hishivuli ra tachas tova, that Doeg and Achitofel, who were two Talmidei Chachamim, and they were running after David, so David is crying out with a woe, with a lamentation, so to speak. And there are two psukim. You know, the Gemara only quotes one pasuk. We have to see the two psukim in context. The first pasuk, which is pasuk Yud Gimel in chapter Lamed Hei, says, "Vani bechalosam," meaning when they got sick, and that's in pasuk Yud Gimel. And David says that when they got sick, I wore sack and I fasted, etc., etc., to identify with their pain, because they are Talmidei Chachamim. And if you look at the very next pasuk, it says, Kerea ka'achli hisalachti. David is saying that how did I express myself as a rea, as ve'ahavta l'reacha, as an ach, as a brother? it was because ani bechalosam, etc., that I, with their illness, I also provided, so to speak, illness. I was sak and so forth and so on. So it looks like we're talking about Doeg v'Akitofel, who were like friends of David HaMelech, and therefore, and David HaMelech actually calls in a different chapter in Tehillim, in Nunhei, he calls Achitofel Lufi Umiyuadi. So these were great Talmidei Chacham, and David says about himself that he identified and commensurated with their illness. And now they turn Ra'a Tachas Tove, Shivuli Ra'a Tachas Tove, and instead of doing the same for me, they're running after me. But it does indicate that David is declaring, and something that we should imitate, that he was chola over Tamid Chacham's choli. Now I was thinking to myself, you know, if a person has to get sick over the sickness of Talmidei Chachamim, there are so many Talmidei Chacham Baruch Hashem in the world who are sick, then he's going to constantly be sick. So I don't know exactly what the parameters of this halacha are. Now it's interesting that we could derive halacha from David HaMelech when David says, Ani b'chalosam. Maybe David was a chassid. How do we know that we can derive conclusions from David? But perhaps the fact that he was wearing a levush sock and he was in a state of inu of affliction, that would be a bizayon for a melech. And he would only be allowed to do so if there was a chiyuv, if it was midas chasidus, it would not be appropriate for a king to exhibit such behavior. The Amar Rabba, another statement in the same tradition of Rabbi Archinu Sabba Mishmei de Rav Kala, O Sedvar Avera Mispayish, but if a person after violating an Avera feels humiliation, Mochulah Kala Vonosav, he will get a Mechila for his sins. And it says Kala Vonosav, all his sins. So Busha is a tremendous power to be Matira person. As the Meiri writes in his great Chibur on Tshuva, he says that Busha, when a person is embarrassed because of his sins, that pushes him towards charata. And charata, of course, is tshuva. So because of his humiliation, he feels regret. But the only thing is, why would that mean that he's mochel mo'a kol avanosav? He was only embarrassed about this particular avera. And why does that give him an all-inclusive kapara on all his avonos? So the girsa of the Meiri is Mochlo al Oso Dover. He changes the girsa. However, if you look at in Yaakov, he explains that Mochlo al Kol Avonosav, because what is Busha? When a person is misbayish because he did something against the will of God, certainly as a Busha that would impact on his entire personality and all of his actions. And he writes that Busha Zu timna mimenu milasos shum dover neged ritzono. That this, the power of this busha, that he did something against the will of God, he's humiliated, he's embarrassed by this, will have an impact on all his sins, on his way of living and doing an avoda and always fulfilling the will of God. There's one interpretation that says the busha really changes the very essence of a person. And we always say that a person who is mevayis someone, it's like he killed him. There's a whole new person after Busha. And that new person has no, so to speak, responsibilities, liabilities for all his old sins because he's a new person. Shenemar, what's the raya from Yechezkel? Laman tizkiri vavoshti velo yelach od pischon peh mipnei klimasech bechafri loch lecholasher asisinu mashem elokim. And the drasha of the pasuk, we interpret this pasuk at the end as bekafri loch lechol asher asisa, which means that Hashem will be mechaper on all your ma'isim. And why? Because of levan tizkri vavoshti and chlimech, all of your embarrassment, your humiliation. So Gemara says that there's no proof from that pasuk because dilma tzibur shayni. When we're talking about the entire tzibur experiencing busha, it's a busha shel tzibur. That's great. That's immense. And therefore, there's a mechila for the tzibur. But in the case of a busha of a yachid, maybe that's not enough to generate a mechila for all his avonos. You're going to have to find a different source for this conclusion. And this concept of Tzibur Shaini, as far as Mechila is concerned, is reminiscent of what we heard from our Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik over and over again when he spoke about this, a Kaparas HaTzibur. There's not only the Kapar the Yochim, but there's a concept called Kaparas HaTzibur. And he used to say that's why we sing Hashem Nebogad. Elami Hocha. But rather, let's go to Shaul HaMelech. He saw that the Plishtim had gathered together and their machna was about to engage in a war against Klal Yisrael. He was overwhelmed by fear, and Shaul sends the Nevi'im to ask the question of the Urim V'Tumim, and he didn't get an answer. So he goes to the Balas Ov and he asks that she bring up the dead Shmuel from his kever. Vayomer Shmuel a Shaul, and Shmuel, once he's brought up from the kever, he says, Lama Hirgastani Lahalos Osi, why did you bother me and upset my repose, and you brought me up? Vayomer Shaul, Tsarli Me'od Uplishtim Nilchamim Bi, I'm in a very great state of anguish. Vashem sar mi olai, v'lo anoni od, and I can't get an answer even from the Urim V'Tumim. God has forsaken me. Gam biyad anavim v'gam v'chalomos. No communication has come to me. Ekro lecha, I have called upon you. Lo di'eni ma'aseh. I'm in a very, very dire, urgent situation, and that's why I took this very extreme motion. When Shaul justifies himself as Shmuel, why did he bring him up through Ov? He doesn't mention the fact that he had asked the Urim V'Tumim. I mean, we added that, but Shaul didn't add that. Even though he asked the Urim V'Tumim, he doesn't mention that. And why is that? Mishum dekatle lenov ir hakohanim, because that would remind everybody, if he mentions that the Urim V'Tumim didn't respond, that Shaul had wiped out the entire city of Nov of Kohanim, and he was very embarrassed in front of Shmuel. So he didn't want to say that he was responsible for the death of the Kohanim in Nov, and therefore he didn't mention that the Urim V'Tumim did not give him a response, because if he would have indicated or alluded to the fact that he had killed the city of Kohanim, then maybe Shaul would say to him that the answer to all your problems as to why you're not getting answers from anyone is because you were guilty of wiping out the city of Ir HaKohanim. Now, in this pasuk, there is an indication that Shaul HaMelech was misbayish. That's why he omitted mention of the Urim V'Tumim situation. And Rabbah wants to prove from this pasuk that if you misbayish, mochun lo akol avanosov. Now, where is there any indication that mochun lo akol avanosov? So again, let's just go over the basics here. David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, and he reaches the city of Nov Ir Konim, and there is a famine. And since there was no bread to eat, then the only bread that was available was lechem aponim. They took the lechem aponim and they fed it to Achimelech HaKohen. Now, exactly how it was mutter for them to do that—that's a sugya masechta menachos. But in any event, Shaul HaMelech found out that they were hiding David, they're giving him protection, and therefore he wiped out the whole city of Kohanim. Now, exactly how do we know that Shaul HaMelech, when he spoke to Shmuel, had omitted mention of Urim V'Tumim because of his busha? Maybe he didn't mention it because he was afraid that Shmuel would not even bother answering him. He says, "Well, you goring liatzma, don't come to me to solve your problem. You caused yourself." So the Marsha says that the reason why he didn't mention Urim V'Tumim is because he was misbayish on the Hariga of Ir. No Vir Kohanim. And the Miri says the same thing. But there was Busha here. So the Gemara now asks, Minayin the Achilu Le Min HaShemayim, and how do you know that because of this Busha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually granted him Achila, Shenemar, because it says that when Shmuel says to Shaul, when he rose him up from the dead with Ov, that God was Moser Yisrael V'Yad Plishtim, Shmuel adds, U'machar Ato V'Necha Imi, you will be destroyed by the Plishtim, but tomorrow you will be with me. which means that just like I'm dead, you'll also be dead. But Rabbi Yochanan darshens the word imi, and he says, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Shaul could have just said, Shmuel could have just said to Shaul that he will die. But why does he say imi? Imi b'mechitzasi, meaning you'll be together with me in Olam Abba. And the reason for that is because Hashem was mochel him. And why was Hashem mochel Shaul? It's because of his busha. So there's a whole train over here. And the logic is that Shaul omitted mention of the Urim Tumim situation because it would raise up the problem of Nov Irkonim, and he had total busha over Nov Irkonim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says through Shmuel Imi that you will have a portion b'mechitzasi in Olam Haba, which means that you have mechila, and all this is because of your busha. Rabbanan Amri Bihacha. The Rabbanan have a different pasuk in Shmuel Beis with regard to the 3 years of Ra'av at the end of David HaMelech's time. And David HaMelech asks the Urim V'Tumim why. And the answer was, El Shaul V'El Beis Adomim Al Asher Hemis Es HaGivonim. That means that Shaul had killed out the Kohanim, who were the ones who supplied Lechem Umayim for the Givonim. And it means that Yoshua had made the Givonim into Chotvei Eitzim and Shovei Mayim for the Kohanim. So they served for the Kohanim. When Shaul killed out the Kohanim, there was no one around to be Mefarnes, the people, because since the Parnosa had come from the Givonim, then it was the Kohanim who are Mesafkim LeGivonim Lechem Amayim. So basically, Shaul HaMelech is responsible not only for wiping out the Kohanim, but indirectly for wiping out the Givonim, because the Givonim have no source of Parnasa, there's no Kohen to bring them Lechem Amayim. So David at this point calls the Givonim, and he tries to pacify them, that they should be mispal on behalf of Klal Yisrael to bring an end to the termination of this famine. And the Givonim responded, Yutan lonu shiva noshim mibonov, vokaanum lashem begiva shaul bechir Hashem. Give us 7 of the children of Shaul, we're going to hang them up, and we'll notify that this is the mishpat of Hashem. Meaning this is God's judgment and retribution against Shaul, that his 7 sons will be killed. This actually took place in a place called Givat Shaul, which is a place of Ir Malchuso Shel Shaul. And that was in order to publicize that the Bonim of Shaul that were chosen, right, whose father Shaul was chosen to be the king, die in Givat Shaul because of the sin of Shaul. And what the pasuk means here, b'pashtus, is that Hokanum Lashem Begiva Shaul, that would be a public action in the Ir Malchuso Shel Shaul, so that everybody would know that the Bonov of Shaul, who was chosen as the Melech, were killed. And that would be their retribution for the suffering that they endured as a result of Shaul's actions in Nov. But the Chachamim now are darshaning, these Rabbanan that we're talking about, that Bechir Hashem in the Pasuk, it says, V'okanum Lashem B'givah Shol Bechir Hashem, that's not referring to the Givonim, because Bo Lignuso, they came to put him down, so why would they call him Bechir Hashem, but rather Yotza Baskol V'yomer Bechir Hashem, which means that he is the Bechir Hashem Shol, and there was a kapara for his Averos. So therefore, Shaul receives a mechila because of busha, and now we have to ask, why then was the sin of the Givonim, remembered to him, so to speak, and he experienced a retribution? That's the kasha of the Ein Yaakov, and he answers Chil Hashem that Bnei Yisrael had taken a vow that they wouldn't kill them, and therefore there was a tremendous Chil Hashem. The Gemara now goes back to Kriyat Shema. Om Rabbi Avobar Zotarti. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvida. Bikshu likvoa parshas Balak b'kriyat Shema. The Chachamim thought to establish that not only should we mention tzitzis in Kriyat Shema, but maybe as a better idea, perhaps, we should mention Parshas Balak. And perhaps, when it says here, Bikshu Likvoa Parshas Balak, it means as a replacement for Parshas Tzitzis. Now, what's the reason for this? We'll see soon. Mipnei Malo Kavua, but why at the end of the day they decide to leave out Parshas Balak? Mishum Torah HaTzibur. Because Parshas Balak is a relatively long parsha. And what that would mean is Tirchat Tzibur to, on a daily basis, require that we add Parshas Balak to Tfilos. For my time, what was the reason for the original intention to add Balak? And the Gemara goes through two possibilities. Elam, if we assume Mipnei Dechsiba, Kel Motziyom Mitzrayim, God was taking out of Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says there are many parshas in the Torah where Yitzis is mentioned. Lema, why not choose Parshas Rivis, Parshas Mishkolos? In Parshas Rivis, the Torah says, Al tikach mito neshech v'sarbis, ani Hashem elokeich v'shal tzisi eskamir tzitzrayim. In Parshas Mishkolos, it says, Moznai tzedek, avni tzedek, efas tzedek, ein tzedek, yelochem, ani Hashem elokeich v'shal tzisi eskamir tzitzrayim. And the Torah mentions Yitzis Mitzrayim scores of times. Why do you choose Balak? Elo Amar Rav Yosi Bar Oven Mishum Dechsiv Vayakra Kara Shachav Keari Uchlavi Mikimenu. There's a certain similarity here, a mirror image between this pasuk in Balak and Uvishal B'chov Kumechov Kriyat Shema. That just like in Bishal B'chov we have here Kara Shachav, and just like in Bukumecha, we have Uklavi Miyikimenu. So Gemara says, if you're choosing Parshas Balak because of this one single pasuk, Lema Hai Pesukah V'Sulo, you can solve your problem of Torah Tzibur by just simply reciting this one pasuk, which is the whole reason why you are reciting this pasuk. So the Gemara answers, called Parsha de Paski Moshe Paskina, Lo Paski Moshe Lo Paskina. We're not allowed to read a pasuk out of an entire parsha. So Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes has a psicha or what's called a stuma, a parsha psucha, parsha stuma. But as a general rule, called parsha de lo paski Moshe, anan lo paskina. You don't pull out a pasuk and read it from an entire parsha, again, unless it's a parsha psucha, parsha stuma, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself indicates that there's a place to stop. And that we can be mafsik, but in a parsha shelo paskin Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't add a psak. A psak meaning a mafsik, a hefsek. We don't stop in the middle. Even though you could ask the question, later on the Gemara is going to say that Rebbe recited only one pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, from the first parsha. And although he read only one pasuk, yet apparently he didn't violate this prohibition that we see here of kol parsha de lo paski Moshe. So the answer to that is that when he says kol parsha lo pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu ena rishon lafsika, that's only if he's reading b'derek kriya. Rabbi Yudan Nasi didn't say the pasuk as a kriya, but rather he was just simply being makabel ol malchus shemayim in its time, and then he would read the entire parasha later on when he had an opportunity to do so for the purpose of kriyat shema. Now the Sfas Emes makes a comment over here. He says that which we recite various psukim in halel, and that's called hal bedilug, and we don't recite the entire parasha, and we are medalig at the, you know, in the middle of a mizmar. Sometimes we begin, or sometimes we begin in the middle of the mizmar. Isn't that a violation of called psuka de lo pasik Moshe? And perhaps the answer is that if we're not reading a b'derech kriya, but rather b'derech shevach v'odoya, singing a song of praise, then we can pull out psukim. There's a shut here called Dvar Yoshua, and he doesn't understand in our Kriya B'Tzibur on a Tainis, we actually end in the middle of a parasha. And he claims that the Issa to be mafsik in the middle of a parasha is when he's reading the parasha shleim kriya. But on Tainis, the ikar parasha is not b'toras kriya, b'toras tefila ubakosha. Therefore, we're allowed to read parts of the parasha. The Gemara continues now to study kriyat shma. Parasha tzitzis mipnei makov u'a b'kriyat shma. What's the relationship between tzitzis and kriyat shma? Now, the first two parashas we understand is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. What about tzitzis? Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Mivnei Sheyesh Bar Chamisha Dvarim. There are five motifs in the parasha of tzitzis, and that makes it very special and connects it, conjoins it with Kriyat Shema. What do we have? We have first and foremost the mitzvah of tzitzis, and then number two, we have Yetzias Mitzrayim at the end of the parasha. We have all mitzvos because we say that tzitzis keneged tayeg mitzvahs. And we have something called das minim, which means los asurach relevavchach reinechem. In other words, the iser to be nimshach, to be influenced by the minim who absolutely trample and transform the Tamei HaTorah, they darsh the Torah in a way that it would be appropriate for their Avodah Zorah. And finally, we have Hir Avera Vehir Avodah Zorah, the Isur not to think about Noshim, Taivas Noshim, which is called Hirurei Avera, and not to have Hirhurim about Avodah Zorah. Now, why does the Gemara mention Hirhurim? Because the Gemara says in Yuma that Hira Avera is even more severe than the Avera itself, or Hira Avodah Zorah. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, Machsheva Sorosu Mitzarfa Kodesh Baruch Hu L'maisa. Bishle Mahanech Tlas Mefarshin. In other words, the first three are explicit in the parasha. We have all mitzvahs, Dechsivu Risam Osos Chatim is called Mitzvah Hashem. And that we have in, and that's number one. Then we have tzitzis dechsiv yosulem tzitzis al kafiv gdeya, and we have yitzis mitzrayim dechsiv asher tzeisi eschem el das minim hira avera hira avodah zorah minolon. Where do you see that in the parasha? The sanya, the brisa tells us also surach relevavchem achrei nechem asher tem zodim achreihem achrei levavchem zo minus. And this is a reference to Hirur Avodah Zorah. V'cheinu Omer, and the pasuk says in Tehillim, Amar Naval Belibo Ein Elohim. So it means that there's no worse Naval than someone who converts the Torah and says that Elohim is not, Chas V'Shalom, is not alive. He goes after the idols. Achrei Nechem Zehir Aver Shenem Arayom Hashim Shon El Aviv. And here we're talking about Erva, we're talking about Taivas Noshin. And Asher Zonim Zehir Avodah Zorah. Chenu Omer, how do I know that Asher Zonim Achreim is Avodah Zorah? And the answer is because it says, Vayhi Kasher Meis Gidon, Vayeshu B'nei Yisrael, Vayiznu Achrei Aba'olim. They went after the Baal, which is an Avodah Zorah. So in the last three, we have number one, Achrei Ein Nechem, and that's a reference or an allusion to Taivas Noshin to Erva. The Gemara proves that. We have Achrei Levavchem, and that's Minus, those who deny God or attribute the powers of the world to an idol, to idols, various gods. And then we have Asher Zonim, which is a reference to Hirur Avodah Zorah. And now we have the Mishnah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Mishnah says, according to the Tanakhama, Mazkirin Yetzias Mitzrayim Bal Leilos. In other words, it's not enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim by Yom, but we need to fulfill it Bal Leilos with the Kriyas Mashal Arvis. And therefore, the third parasha, which is tzitzis, even though we paskin that there's no mitzvah of tzitzis balayla because it says urisemo so, nevertheless, we add the parasha of tzitzis even in kriyat shma balayla because of hani Hashem alokeh mashal tzitzicha, because the mitzvah of yitzias mitzrayim balayla. Omer Rav Lozman Azariah, this is famous from the Haggadah, hare ani kiben shivim shana. I became like a zaken mamish, a 70-year-old man, because I was elected to be the nasi when I was very young. and my white hairs turn black. I'm sorry, my black hairs turned white. I meant to say, so I'm looking like a zaken. This was supernatural, but nevertheless, lo zachisi, I wasn't successful in convincing the chachamim sheteyomer yitzis tribal lelos, because it says zacharis yom tzeischos. So the chachamim assumed only by day you have a mitzvah of zachiris yitzis tribal, and that's when they went out of Mitzrayim. The goal is terminate the gula. Took place by day. Achidosha ben Zoma, Shenem Laman Tiskos Yom Tseitzchom Yitzchayim, Kol Yimechayecha, Kol Yimechayecha Yomim, Yimechayecha Yomim, Kol Yimechayecha Larabos, Eshalelos. Why didn't the Chachom accept this drush of ben Zoma? Chachomim Omrim, Yimechayecha Lamazeh, Kol Yimechayecha Lahavi, Limos HaMashiach. That the mitzvah of Zachir Tzitzchayim will apply even after the great miracles. Miracles that by far will outshine the miracles of Yitzis Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, we still have a mitzvah of Zechiris Mitzrayim during the time of Yemos HaMashiach. All right, we'll stop here.